You're gonna have to.
I actually want to talk 49ers.
Why?
I relish because I love when they lose.
You know, you've become a real problem in my life. We can't have this. We can't have this.
Huh? Aren't they in some little bit of injury trouble right now?
They're in
Sherman, Witherspoon,
Debo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk. They're two top receivers. Da 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 da. I don't know if that's the lead story because Tom Brady, Bruce Arians may be in there as well. And we got to tee up the entirety of week two. Here he is from CBS Sports, our NFL analyst each and every Friday morning. Charles Davis is with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Apparently, I'm doing better than some.
Yes, that
scares me a little. We've only gotten through one weekend and one Thursday night, and already we're trying to talk someone off a ledge.
Oh, you bet. Well, before
I get it, let's cover it as quickly as we can.
Okay.
Here's the deal: you do have injury issues. You also have the issue of being the defending NFC champ, so you know you're getting everyone's best shot. But you also have to keep remembering, what did we all talk about this entire offseason? That Arizona really got better, and they were the trendy, hey, look out for Arizona in that division. They really should be the fourth team, but they may have already passed the Rams, and they're going to give people trouble. And sure enough, it came a cropper right there on opening day. Now, if you go to New York in New Jersey, and the Jets jump you, even with injuries, then full permission to go puddle. I still don't want you on a ledge, okay, because I need you.
Okay.
All right? We got a long season left. But it's okay to go puddle then because the Jets are just not good, okay? I mean, injuries, no injuries, what have you, on the road, not on the road, the whole deal. Now, I am a little concerned because normally in between those East Coast games, you go to Youngstown, Ohio, you know, where Eddie DeBartolo holds camp and holds sway. And this year you're going to West Virginia, going to the Greenbrier, which is a really nice resort. I don't know why the change, what the deal is, and it seems minor, but I kind of like sticking with what's worked before. And going to Youngstown has kind of been a tradition for you. So we'll have to find out why the change this year, because you've got the back-to-back East Coast. And you're going to go to the Greenbrier,
right?
And that's where Sam Snead, of course, held court all those years. So anyway, enough of all of that. Let's talk about whatever you guys want to talk about in the NFL, and just know that next week, if that goes down, then the 49ers can be our lead.
Well, Charles, I was just going to say, then take it one step further personally. I doubt in my lifetime that the 49ers will visit the Jets and Giants in back-to-back weeks again. And so from a personal perspective, it's disappointing because, man, take the week and go to New York City and bookend it with football games, right? Same stadium and all.
How great would that be?
You know?
How great would that be for you? And this is unfortunately the year that just can't be done. You know, that's just not part of the deal. And I'm still trying to come to grips with all of this. I think we all are in so many different ways. You know, my colleague Kenny Albert does such a great job calling hockey, and then he's supposed to come back and call football, and because of the pandemic and the rules that are in place, he couldn't. And then a second week, he can't. I mean, it's tough to watch because people are trying to get out there and do all the things that we want to do and make it and all that. In the grand scheme of things, is it the worst thing in the world? No, people are dealing with a heck of a lot worse. We know that. But in our world, that's tough because, I mean, I know how much Kenny loves to work and does such a great job, and people love working with him. I've worked with Kenny for, I guess, 3-4 years, and every time was a delight and a joy, and I learned so many different things. And the guy, I call him a cyborg. Never met anybody who knows everything. Like if I say, hey, Kenny, that Olympics in, you know, about, you know, that you called, who was that Czechoslovakian? I said, what? I mean, he would have that down in no time. He's just magnificent. But all that being said, you're right. What a great week that would have been for 49ers fans and people who are interested. You go to New York, take in two games. You know how people always talk about, I'm going to go to New York, go to Broadway and take in plays. For us, this is Broadway. Two football games in New York. That would have been a blast.
Matt, Charles Davis is with us from CBS Sports. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So Is there anything that happened in week one, Charles, that leads you to draw any significant conclusions? Like, for example, we just talked a little bit about Arizona beating the 49ers, but Philadelphia building a 17-0 lead on the road at Washington and coughing it up and losing. Does that tell us something about the Eagles, or alternatively something about Washington, for example? Or is there something else I haven't brought up that fits the narrative I'm clearly trying to create?
No, I like your narrative. Let's go there, and then we'll just keep going with it, okay? What it tells me about the Eagles is what we suspected. The offensive line's got issues, okay? You know, all the guys that Brandon Brooks got hurt, right? So he can't play their Pro Bowl guard. They re-signed Jason Peters because they were going to play Andre Dillard, their number one pick at left tackle. But they re-signed Jason to play guard where Brandon Brooks was. Lane Johnson has been a stalwart at right tackle. Well, for the opener, Lane Johnson can't play. Jason Peters got moved back to left tackle because Andre Dillard got hurt and is out for the season at left tackle. We mentioned Brandon Brooks already hurt. You see where I'm going? They're playing a bunch of guys. And guess what? Washington has built like the 49ers have built, defensive line, number one draft picks, and that really came to fruition, didn't it? 8 sacks in that game. They came from 17 down and won. Young quarterback grew up. But what it told me was Philadelphia has got to fix the offensive line. I don't worry about much else because I think Doug Peterson does a nice job with his team and they will respond. But they got to fix the offensive line. Otherwise, your quarterback can't respond when he's getting hit as many times as he was. The second part of that is Washington. What have we said about them? When they decided to move on from Jay Gruden, okay, you've got to fix all the dysfunction in the front office, in this, in that, and a head coach who actually has the authority to run the team. When Ron Rivera took that job, because I was advocating Ron Rivera taking the Browns job. See, I thought the Browns roster just needed an adult in charge. And when he took the Washington job, I was a little bit surprised. I thought he would hold out for a different one. But it told me that Ron Rivera, the Ron Rivera I know, could look across the table at ownership, at the man who runs the team, Dan Snyder, and say, you know that if you don't live up to what we're going to talk about, I'm gone. That's who Ron Rivera is going to be. And it seems like Dan Snyder is actually letting him run this team, really personnel, everything. And I know Ron's going through some stuff now with cancer, but he's continuing to battle and fight, and he's doing a great job. But that team responded. They needed that adult in the room 1 week, but they definitely look better doing that. Now, the other part is, as we say, drawing conclusions. Before the season began, my word was continuity, guys. The teams that had continuity, coaching staff, good players coming back, the whole deal. New Orleans had continuity, wouldn't you say? They beat Tampa Bay. Yep. Tampa Bay had continuity in the coaching staff, but it's a brand-new quarterback. Here comes Gronk. 6 weeks is what I call. I call these 6 week teams because they haven't been able to practice in OTAs, mini camps. First time they hit the grass was 6 weeks ago. To me, Tampa's a 6 week team. They will get better, but right out of the gate, tough. What violated my continuity rule was San Francisco because they got everything back, but the injuries hit them. Arizona got better. They got beat. Let's just see how they bounce back going forward. But Baltimore, continuity. Kansas City, continuity. You see where I'm going with this? And I will say, even though we were talking about week one, I'm going to add in last night, watching the Browns bounce back, and everyone can save their Cincinnati jokes. The Browns got jumped in Baltimore. I saw it with my own eyes last week. Watching them bounce back and play the way that they did last night kind of confirms to me this is a pretty decent roster. They just have to learn how to turn it loose, learn how to play, learn how to win consistently. And I think they've got the right people in place, including Kevin Stefanski. So that's all I need to say about that. But continuity is the key. San Francisco is the one team that violated my continuity rule. But overall, I think it held up pretty well.
Something I want to touch on is the Buccaneers. And I feel like people are always going to be comparing when you have games like you did in week one is, well, is this Brady and he's too old and the change of organizations is not there? Or is this a team and system-wise problem? Is that kind of how you evaluate them?
Yeah, so I go back to what I said before, 6 weeks of actually being able to truly practice, right? And even then, remember, you had the ramp-up period because we didn't have the OTAs and mini camps and all that. I don't see him as too old. I did not see him play too old. And I would be the first to, I would think, say it, where I see plays where he just can't do that anymore. That wasn't it at all. I just think that they just need more time together, more things happening. And then it turned into quite the kerfluffle, didn't it, when everybody's like, Bruce Arians is taking shots at Tom Brady in the media. Oh, my God, he ripped Tom Brady. And I laughed. I just kept cracking. I said, just give it some time, please, folks. That's B.A. He's very blunt. Plus, I told everybody, go back and get the transcript of what he said and read it in total. And when you're done, you know what you'll do? You'll look up and go, yeah, so what's the issue here? Because he didn't rip it. He just said, hey, he didn't play as well as he needed to play. And the next time he comes out, he'll play with more grit and determination. Now, as soon as he said that, people said, well, we're trying to say that Bruce was saying he didn't play with grit and determination. He didn't say that. But anyway, you know how it goes. Brady's been coached by Bill Belichick. You think he has been jumped on before? He knows this is what coaches do. And sometimes what coaches do, I learned this lesson younger, they coach the rest of the team through the star. And the coach and the star usually have an understanding. The coach will let the star know, hey, you know, I'm going to have to jump you a few times. And when I am, I'm not just jumping you. That's a message to everyone else. Let's see who listens. This is part of what's going on in Tampa, I believe. I think they're going to be fine. I'm not that worried about it. I'm not saying they're going to go out and win 10 in a row now, but I'm also not saying they're going to go into this downward spiral. They lost to New Orleans. That New Orleans is the best team in their division. People keep forgetting that. They won three straight division titles, and as Cam Jordan told everybody before the season, we welcome Tom Brady to the division. He and Tampa Bay, they can play for second.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. That's a good team.
Right.
I keep forgetting that.
Right. And Tampa Bay should beat Carolina at home this weekend.
They should. I mean,
and it's
they
like
really
anything
should.
Else. It's like anything else, Charles. We drum up week one or September narratives,
sure,
and then see how they play out. If they lose to Carolina, then you absolutely.
Then we got something to talk about.
You
then
bet.
Then we got something to talk about. Yeah. I think right now, continuity, learning each other, Brady will play better. The Tampa Bay defense keeps getting better. All those come into play. But if they lose to Carolina at home this week, yeah, then we have something to really discuss.
So, I mean, there's a name that always jumps into mind. He was injured for most of last season. Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there have been some off-field, less than pleasant off-field situations over his near two decades in the NFL.
Yeah.
And we don't ignore those. But we do discuss the player on the field, a couple of Super Bowl rings, and a guy who has played at an elite level when healthy for almost the entirety of his career. Yet, he has played in the Brady era. So, and for a large part, the Peyton Manning era. Where does he fall for you on the list of great quarterbacks in his generation?
Oh, he's way up there. Look at the numbers. Look at, as you mentioned, the two rings, and essentially the first ring. Remember how young he was, and the team around him really helped him get there. Because if you go back and watch that Super Bowl, he didn't play very well. Of course, it wasn't the best played Super Bowl. Anyway, remember Pittsburgh, Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
That one was in Detroit. That was Jerome Bettis's, you know, leaving the NFL stage and getting a ring in his hometown, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't play well.
That was Bill Cowher, right? Yeah,
Bill Cowher. But Bill surprised us, remember? We didn't know that was going down. You know, Bill got his ring and then was gone.
Yeah.
But you remember we had the reverse pass, touchdown and all that, and the officials' calls that the Seattle people are still screaming about. But the next one, he was a huge part of that. And if you really want to make your case for Ben, the numbers are huge. Pittsburgh's, you know, year in and year out in the playoffs, a contender, blah, 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 blah. How about last year when he couldn't play after week two?
Yep.
It's amazing to me that they got to 8-8 because that defense got them to 8-8. They went to the last two games of the season with a chance to make the playoffs.
Well, Tomlin's a great coach,
unbelievable.
Too. Tomlin's a great coach.
He's a terrific coach. The organization is wonderful. you know, every time someone like Cleveland makes a coaching change, what is the one note, right? This is the 14th coach for Cleveland since they've been back in football in 1999, and Pittsburgh's had three coaches since 1969.
Yep. Noel, Cowher, and Tomlin. Yep.
Exactly. It tells you about the organization. They understand when things don't go the way they want them to go. They assess why. And if they thought it was Mike Tomlin, he would have been gone. But they knew injuries. They knew this. They knew that. That team started 1-4 last year and somehow found a way to 8-8 and almost got into the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. So that tells you about Ben, because that's where the question was. And then you watched him. If you watched him Monday night, whatever rust there was, he started to knock it off. I thought the best throw of the night, two throws, the throw to Claypool on the sidelines, because Claypool made a great catch, but how about where that ball was placed? And the second one was on the crossing route with Juju Smith-Schuster for the touchdown, but Ben, off of his back foot, feeling the pressure, threw the ball to the open spot and essentially told Juju, go get it, and there it was. Ben's back at 38. I just hope his elbow holds up. He's one of the best quarterbacks of his generation. And if we're talking strictly on the field, there's no question in my mind. You got to put Roethlisberger right in that conversation.
Cam Newton ran the ball 15 times Sunday. We all know he's a running quarterback, but is this a little glimpse of what Belichick is going to have to do to make sure they get Cam at his best and this offense can put points on the board?
And that's going to be some Sunday night game against the guy who does it best, Russell Wilson.
Well, are we all just fired up for this one? I mean, the whole league is. I heard Troy Aikman mention it last night, Thursday night game, when they showed the slate of big games coming up this weekend. He immediately went to that game. We all are. Look, I think that what we saw out of Cam was a little bit of a surprise to me, guys, because of his 15 runs. I would have thought somewhere about half that. I'm not surprised he ran it, but I thought with the injuries the last couple of years, they might not go as deep into it. But did you notice the different formations, eight men on the line of scrimmage? Josh McDaniels has been drawing some stuff up in this pandemic now. Once he knew Cam was going to be his quarterback, he started to, okay, what's going to do all the things? What's going to help make him great? Well, here's the thing about the Patriots. What do we say all the time? They don't just have one style. They game plan for the opponent. If running is it, Cam will do it. If they want to throw it more against another opponent, we're going to see that at some point. How much fun would it be on Sunday night if Pete Carroll lets Russ cook, as they've been asking him to do, and all of a sudden New England's throwing the ball and Julian Edelman gets back involved in the whole deal? We don't know what we'll see. But I think week to week, it'll be fun to watch. And it was fun to see Cam back running the football again.
Charles, it's always awesome to talk. I hope I'm a solid and not a liquid next week. I hope I am not a puddle.
No, we need you a solid. And look, this is going to be one of those things where it's bigger than just you and your team. think of the little people like me who need you. So while you're sitting there contemplating, you know, this is the end, and boy, I don't know what to do, think of all of us who need you as well. Yeah. Find strength, okay, and go solid, okay?
If we lose to the Jets, if the 49ers lose to the Jets, Charles, I can't promise anything.
If that's happening, I may have to cross the border and quarantine for 14 days, but I'll be there. Okay? Just,